Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Nun Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Mishnah at the bottom of Daf Nun Dalet had mentioned that Shalmei Tzibur are slaughtered in the northern part of the Azora. The Gemara at the top of Nun Hey Omid Aleph asks, Mino Lon Deboi Tzofon, from where do we know that the Shalmei Tzibur require Tzofon? The note that we have in our outside margin, the Nosei, topic heading, Mivneh, structural note, features the triangle. As you can see in our Gemara, we have a couple of triangles, two of them. Shlovim, Bechipus, Mokor. Shlovim are stages in the search for a source, the Shalmei Tzibur, Bo'inon Tzafon, that the public Korban Shlomim requires the north for its slaughtering. So the Gemara at the end, at the top, answers, Detoni Rabo Bar Rav Chonon Kameh de Rava. There's a Tanaic source you could see. It appears in a frame, as do all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system. It opens up with a posuk in the context of the Shtei Halechem and the Kivsei Atzeres, the Kivsei Atzeres being the example of Shalmei Tzibur. Vasisem Seiri Zimechod L'chatos, and it goes on in the posuk to say, Shnei Kvosim B'nei Shona L'zevach Shlomim. So in this pasuk, there's a reference to the Korban Chatos in proximity of the reference to the Shalmei Tzibur. Ma Chatos B'Tzafon, just like a Chatos is known to require the northern part of the Azor for its slaughtering, Af Shalmei Tzibur B'Tzafon, so too the Kivsei Atzeres will be slaughtered in the Tzafon. The Kivsei Atzeres, as we mentioned, are the Shalmei Tzibur. Amar Lei Rava. Rava asks regarding this source, V'chi chatos v'heichon lamda, from where do we know that the chatos itself requires the north? Mei ola. That's derived from a hekish between chatos and ola. There's a problem here. Dover halomeg behekish, chozer malamig behekish, when you're in the realm of kochim, like we are right now, in the realm of learning about sacrifices and Beis HaMikdash, information that itself is derived through a hekesh cannot turn around and teach me regarding something else through a hekesh. But that's exactly what we're attempting to do right now. The chatos itself, needing tzofon, is derived from a hekesh to ola. We want now chatos, as featured in the source, to turn around and teach me regarding the Shalmei Tzibur. But that method of deriving things when you're in the realm of kochim cannot be practiced. Elo midetoni rav Mori Braid Rav Kana. The issue of north, as far as Shalmei Tzibur was concerned, can be learned from the source that Rav Mori teaches. Al Oloisechem v'al Zivchei Shalmeichem. That's a posuk. And in this posuk, you see the Korban Ola mentioned together with Shlomim. Ma Oilo Koche Kochim. Just like an Ola is known to be Koche Kochim, the high level of sanctity with regard to Korbonus. Af Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. So through the pasuk that refers to shlomim is a reference to the public shlomim offering the kivsei atzeres, which is also classified as kochei kochim, high level sanctity. Ma oilo b'tzafon, just like the korban ola is known to be in the tzafon, and ola is a situation where the pasuk describes explicitly tzafon by the ola. It's not derived information. Af zivchei shalmei tzibur b'tzafon. So through the hekesh between shlomim and ola, I derive that the shalmei tzibur as well required tzafon. The Gemara asks, regarding the first source, we saw above the chatos being compared to or being hukash to the shalmei tzibur. What was the role of that comparison? Elo hekesha kamo lemai also. We have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, assisting the location of the Hekesh Shekamo, the first Hekesh. That's a reference to the Chatos Hekesh we saw above between Chatos and Shalmei Tzibor. So what is its role? What is it coming to teach? The answer, Ki Chatos. The Shalmei Tzibor is to be compared like to the Chatos. Ma Chatos Einu Necheles Ela Zivchei Kehuna. Just like the Korban Chatos is eaten only by male Kohanim. Av Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor Einom Necholim Ela Lezivchei Kehuna. So too, the public shlomim offering is eaten only by the male kohanim. The Gemara now presents a question of some length. You could see this is indicated by the kuf that's encircled the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of the lines of Gemara opposite this vertical dashed line form the question. Omer le Abaye, I hachi, gabi el nozir. For if so, as we just saw a hekish telling me the hekish between Shalmei Tzibor and other Koche Kochim teaches me that it's necha only lezichrei kahuna. What about the following? Hiyochi gabi el nozir dichtiv. The el nozir is a korban shlomim that's brought by a nozir when he completes his nazirus period. It says there vehikriv es korbano lashem keves ben shnosu tomim echod leola. The one of his korbanos is a sheep that's a year old, that's brought as an olah. V'chavso achas bashnosu tmimo lechatos, and a sheep also 1 year old that's brought as a korban chatos. The ayel echot tomim l'shlomim, and an ayel that's brought for a shlomim. Those are three sacrifices that a nozir is to bring. Hochi nami neima, are we to say over here as well? The hikish hakosuv lechatos, that the el nozir, which is a shlomim, is compared to a chatos. Ma chatos eino nechel se lezichrei kehuna, af el nozir nami eino nechal el lezichrei kehuna. Just like the chatos is eaten only by male kohanim, the el nozir as well, when we know that that's not the case, it's not limited, the el nozir is not limited to the male kohanim. So the Gemara responds, Hochi hashto. How can you compare the case of the hekish between the el nozir and the chatos and that which we saw above at the upper part of the page, where the first arrow was? Hosom kevo dechtiv alokach hakoyin es hazroa b'sheila min ha'ayel. With regard to the el nozir, it says that the koyin receives the zroa from the arm of the el nozir as his gift. Michlal de kulei bailim achlilei. That would imply that the rest of it is eaten by the Bailim. The Gemara asks, Zroa b'shelo miha lo lisakil elo lezichrei kahuna. If you say that the Zroa b'shelo is given to the Kohen, maybe we should suggest that at least the Zroa b'shelo should be limited to the zichrei kahuna, to the male Kohanim. And that's not so. We have a little star into the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you find a parallel star, you'll notice in the Mishnah to come, there's a reference to the parts of the El Nozir that are separated and given to the Kohanim. And it says there on that line, Shehamurim Ne'echal, that which is separated from the El Nozir, is Ne'echal L'Kohanim, L'Nisheim L'Vneim L'Vdeim. We've dashed underlined the word L'Nisheim, indicating the wives of the Kohanim, showing that the El Nozir, the Zorah B'Shelah taken off of the El Nozir given to the Kohanim, is not limited to the Zichrei Kuna. So that leaves us, as the Gemara concludes here, with Kashya, with a difficulty in understanding what the role of comparing the El Nozir to the Chatos was in the Pasuk before. However, this doesn't upset the general thrust of the Gemara that pointed out that the Hekesh at the top of the Omid between Chatos and the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor, in fact, in the case of the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor, just like a chatos is limited to the male kohanim, so too the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor are limited to the male kohanim. And the fact that the Zroa V'Shela of the El Nozir is not limited to the male kohanim leaves us with a bit of a question. The Iboy Esema, another approach to the issue of why the Zroa V'Shela is not limited to the male kohanim is as follows. Kotshi ikri. Kotshe kotshim lo ikru. The Zohar B'Sheva is referred to by the term kotshe and not kotshe kotshim. And therefore, it doesn't have this very high level of sanctity associated with it. Therefore, it's not limited to the male kohanim. Well then, what is the role of comparing the El Nazir to the Chatos? The answer is, Omar Rava. In fact, Rava will be telling us that it's not as if I'm deriving information of the El Nazir from the Chatos, but rather the other way around. From the El Nazir will not be derived from the Chatos, but rather the El Nazir will teach me concerning the Chatos. The Torah has a source indicating that even though the Nazir has to bring three korbanos, upon bringing one of the three, and as far as the most obvious one, as far as the psukim are concerned, upon bringing the El Nazir, he can then drink wine and take a haircut. Before bringing at least one korban, the Nazir was still prohibited. So we know that the El Nazir is licensed for the Kohen to start drinking wine and taking haircuts. From that point of information that we know about the El Nazir, we will learn to the Chatos that if he brought the Chatos as his first korban, that too will give him license to taking haircuts and drinking wine. That's what the Gemara says, She'im gilach al echod mishlosh don yotza, that if he takes a haircut after bringing even one of the required korbanos, he's fulfilling his requirement. Of course, he still has to bring the balance of the sacrifices, but one is sufficient, and just like we know by the El Nazir, that gives him license to drink wine and take haircuts, so too, we would say that that be the case if he brought just the Chatos in the meantime. Hatoido, the Mishnah, Hatoido, the El Nazir, Kodshim Kalim. Shitasim b'chomokim bazora, v'domon ta'un shtei matonashin arba. This place of slaughtering for these korbanos is not limited to the tzofen as we saw before, but anywhere in the azara. Their blood application involves two applications which hits the four sides of the mizbeach. V'necholen b'chol ho'ir, b'chol odom, b'chol maichol, l'yoim v'laylo ad chatzos. The location of eating is anywhere in Yerushalayim, and it's not limited to male kohanim, it's l'chol odom. These are eaten by any Jew, and the time for eating them is the day that they're brought and the immediate following night, until midnight. Hamuram mehem kayotzibohen, that which is separated from them. There's a portion of these different sacrifices that is given as a tithe, so to speak, to the kohen. So that which is separated from them and given to the kohanim is treated like the basic sacrifice itself. That's with regard to time and place. Elo shehamuram ne'echal kohanim, only that which is separated from them is eaten by the kohanim, l'nishem v'vneim v'avdeim, their wives and the children of the kohanim and their servants. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source. Es chazei hatnufa. Now, one can see that it's a Tanaic source, as we've mentioned on previous occasions, that being that it's drawn into a frame is drawn around these lines, indicating that it's Tanaic literature to set it aside from the rest of the Gemara text. The topic that we'll be dealing with right now has to do with place of korbanos. The pasuk says, "Es chazei hatnufa v'es sheik hatruma teichlu b'makom tahor." Omar Rav Nechemya. This pasuk says that the chazeh and shok that are tithed, are separated from the korban, they are to be eaten in a pure, ritually pure location in a makom tahor. Omar Rav Nechemya v'chiri shenim b'tumo achlum. And up till this point, the other korbanos, were they eaten in the tomei places, in defiled locations? Rashi points out v'chi rishonim betumah on the lower part of the narrow lines. He says korbanos rishonim shenemru tchila bo'inyan. The other korbanos that were mentioned earlier in this section of the Torah, we're talking about in Sefer Vayikra Perek Yud, were the korbanos mentioned earlier to be eaten in a mokum of tumah, kigon seirim u'mincha, like the goat offerings and the meal offerings. That's absolutely not so. Ela tohor, the word tohor, when the pasuk says b'mokom tohor, michlal shehu tomei, implies that since the Torah doesn't use the word b'mokom kadosh, it rather uses b'mokom tohor, it sounds like it's partially tohor. And that point will be explained very shortly in the Gemara. But if we glance at the Rashi, at the first wide line under the Gemara, he says, Tor Michlal Shutame, Midalok Siv Kodesh, or Mokam Kodesh, Shmamino Tor Bemitzas Komar, partially Tor, Falo Min HaKoil, not completely Tor. What does that mean? Ha Ketzad? What is this a reference to? Bemachne HaTor Mitumas Mitzora. It's a location that is pure from mitzoroyim. What does that mean? She'ein mitzora nichnas bo. It's a location that a mitzora is not allowed to enter. A mitzora being a very a serious form of tuma. However, the tomei mituma zav, the place is considered tomei with regard to tuma zav. What does that mean? It means shazovim nichnasin sham. It's a place that, though mitzoroyim are not allowed, zovim are allowed. Zovim being another type of human tuma, whereby a person experiences a male experiences a certain type of emission from his body. He's called a zav, and a zav is allowed in this place that the pasuk is referring to. The azeze, Rashi explains, and which is that place that a mitzora is not allowed, but a zav would be allowed? Ze machne Yisrael. This is what's termed Machne Yisrael. Well, what is that, practically speaking? So, Bamidbar, when the Jews were in the desert, called Degel Besoich Asifas Diglo. Machne Yisrael is a reference to the area of where the flags were, namely where each tribe was located. Ubeisoy Lomim equals, in that means, Ubeisoy Lomim means, not in the Midbar, but when the Jews came to the to Eretz Yisrael and to Yerushalayim, where they built the Beis HaMikdash. So Toich Yerushalayim, the area called Machne Yisrael, is in the Jerusalem municipal boundaries, in the area enclosed by the wall around Yerushalayim. Damri B'sochem Mitzura Mishtalea Chutz L'Gimel Machne Zav Nichnas L'Machne Yisrael Avalo L'Machne Levia. It says in Maseches P'sochem that Mitzura is sent out of three camps, and the Zav is allowed in the Machne Yisrael, Avaloi L'Machne Levia. But he's not allowed, the Zav is not allowed to Machne Levia. There are three camps, three domains. We saw already Machne Yisrael, and as you move in more, you get to something called Machne Levia. And as you move in more than that, you get to something called Machne Shechina. So the Zav is allowed in the Machne Yisrael. He's allowed in Yerushalayim, but he's not allowed in the Machne Levia. What is the Machne Levia? So Rashi goes on to explain. V'hu, ba Midbar, when the Jews were in the Midbar, Machne Levia was Chanoyas HaLevim, Soviv, La Mishkan Eidus, was the area that the Levim occupied, or encamped around the Mishkan. V'vei Lomim, when you're dealing with Yerushalayim, so what's classified as Machne Levia? That equals Har Habayis, the Temple Mount. V'tomei Meis, Mutur Likonis Machne Levia. A person who is exposed to Tumas Meis is allowed in this area called Machne Levia. Shenema Yichach Moshe's Atzmos Yosef Imoi. And it says in the Pasuk that Moshe, who was a Levi, took the bones, the remains of Yosef with him. Imoi equals B'michitzasa, that he was together with him in the same precinct, meaning in the same camp. In this case, where Moshe Rabbeinu was, that was Machne Levia. So we turn back to the Gemara itself, where the Gemara says on the second line of the source that's in a frame, it says that since the Pasuk says that the Chazei Atun V'Shuk HaTrumah are eaten in a Mokom Tohar, and obviously it can't mean that they're eaten in a place where there's absolute defilement, so what does Mokom Tohar mean? So the Gemara goes on, El Torah Michlal Shu Tameh. And what does that mean? That equals, you notice where we've dashed underlined the Gemara, it says, Tohor mitumas mitzora v'tomei mitumas meis. It's a location that a mitzora is not allowed. It means, Tohor means it's pure from mitzora, and the mitzorayim are not allowed there. However, v'tomei mitumazav, it's a place that zovim are allowed. V'eze zeh, what is that? What's that place that a zav is allowed and a mitzora is not? Zeh machne Yisrael. This is the area called Machne Israel, and we saw already in the Rashi that in the Midbar, this was a reference to where the tribes were encamped in their travels. Every tribe had a fixed location as they moved along, and in the situation of Yerushalayim, Machne Israel is a reference to within the walls of the Jerusalem boundaries. The Gemara asks, V'eimo, we're going to suggest an alternative. As far as dealing with the expression mokom tohor, maybe tohor mitumas zav, v'tomei mitumas meis, v'yeze ze, ze machne levia. Maybe the area in which the muram, what we saw in the pasuk, these chazei atnuf and shokat truma, those sections that were removed, that were tithed and given to the kehanim, they were to be limited to the machne levia. And what can we say about the Machne Levia? It's tohar from Azav, meaning Azav is not allowed there in the Machne Levia, but it's implying that it's tome with regard to something else, meaning that a tome mace is allowed there. And that would be the Machne Levia. So maybe that's the place for the eating of the Chazei Atuf and the Sheikah Truma. You notice we have diamonds now, and the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading, we have a diamond featured. Deois Shemazbirin Echatana Yudea Dodichtiv. Will have Tanaic opinions, or opinions explaining, let us say, opinions, right? Abaye and Rava, those are opinions explaining how the Tana knows that Daha Dichtiv Toichlu B'Mokom Tor, Dainu Machne Yisrael. How does he know that that is specifically Machne Yisrael and not, as we saw, maybe Machne Levia? Omar Abaye, the Gemara continues, Omar Kro, the Posuk in the case of a Korban Mincha says, V'achaltem Oisa. B'mokoyim kadosh. Oysa b'mokoyim kadosh, the mincha in a holy place, velo acheres b'mokoyim kadosh, and not something else. And that something else will refer to the lachme toda, that it's unlike the that which it says by the mincha. It might be pointed out that the lachme toda are a form of korban mincha. So there's a limitation in this pasuk that osa is a limitation expression. It is eaten by malkum kodesh, leaving room to exclude something that's not limited to that, and that's the lachme toda. Afka mimachne shchina lemachne levia. Well, this pasuk basically says that the lachme toda are not limited to the machne shchina, which is the azara. And they can be eaten in the Machne Levia. Hodar Ksiv, there's another pasuk. The pasuk goes on to say, B'mokoyim Tahor, in a place of Tara, which is Mashna, some form, even if it's a low form of Tara, it's Tahor. Afka LeMachne Yisrael. This takes us out further one more camp. So we went from the simple, by the basic Korban Minchat says, it shall be eaten in Bobokom Kadosh, namely in the Azara. Leaving me room from that pasuk to reduce the seriousness or severity level of with regard to the lachme toida to get them out of one machne that puts it in the machne levia, and then the pasuk goes on to say b'mokoyim tohor, which is mashma some what's called tohor koldu, a very low level of tara afka lemachne Yisrael, that takes it into the machne Yisrael. So our Mishnah that featured the Toida, and it said that it's eaten in B'chol Ha'ir, in all of Yerushalayim, that's a function of the limud we just had of the Lachmei Toda being reduced to Machnas, meaning taken out of two Machnas, from the Machne Shechina to the Machne Levia, and with the second scriptural reference, from the Machne Levia to the Machne Yisrael. It's called Tohor, it's called Mokom Tohor, Tohor Koldu, a minor type of Tahara. What do we mean by that? It's a place that
Well, with regard to Mitzrayim, it's Torah, meaning that Mitzrayim are excluded from there. That's what the word Torah means. They're excluded.
Rava Omar, Oisa b'malkam kodesh, v'lo acheres b'malkam kodesh. The pasuk by the Korban Mincha says it's that the Mincha is supposed to be in the Malkam Kodesh, which we'll explain as being the Azorah, and not something else. So there's a mute over here. Afko Lagamri, by that mute, we're saying, let us focus on the Lachmei Todah, we're saying it's taken out of all the camps, completely taken out. Hodar Kosav Rachmona, Tochlu B'Mokom Tahor, that it shall be eaten in a place of some degree of purity. That's not the case when you're dealing with outside all of the Machnos. Therefore, Ailo L'Machn Yisrael, the expression of Tochlu B'Mokom Tahor serves to bring it in one camp. So going from outside completely and then say, come in one camp, where does that bring you? That's Ailo L'Machn Yisrael. That brings you into the Machn Yisrael. The, as we said before, in the desert, that's a place where the tribes were located, or in the era of the Beis HaMikdash, that's a reference to Yerushalayim. Question. V'eimo Ailo L'Machn Levia. Why not say that after you said that the first pasuk implies it's taken out completely, when you are bringing it back in, why not say it goes in to machlos, it goes to the machne levia? Answer: lechana mailinon, letarti lo mailinon. When we talk about going in to from where you were, we always refer to going in one stage, no jumping two stages. The Gemara asks: ihochi afuki nami mechado mafkinon, mitarti lo mafkinon. Well, if you're going to say that, then so with regard to taking out, when we had the pasuk by the mincha, we said it's b'mokom kodesh, and then we said take out. So take out one camp, not all of them. But the way Rava presented it is, and we have it dashed underlined two lines above. You can see afko lagamri. So where did Rava get that from? If once again, if you are agreeing that when you bring back in, you bring back only one machne, so that when you took out initially, you should have taken out one machne alone. The oid, a second question. Lo yisucha lecho v'shurecho ksiv. This pasuk indicates that you're not allowed to eat it b'shurecho. B'shurecho means outside of Yerushalayim. So the pasuk itself warns against eating outside Yerushalayim. So how could you say that there is implied in the opening pasuk of the Achatam Oysa Mokom Kodesh that would imply a removal from all of the machnos? How can you say something is implied when that implication is running against what it says in this pasuk? Elo Machvarta Kedabai. Rather, it seems most appropriate or better to learn like Abaye. The Mishnah. Shlomim kochim kalim. Shchitosan b'chomokim b'azora. V'tomon to'un shtei matonos shein arba v'necholim b'chol ho'ir l'chol odom. B'chom aichol l'shnei yomim v'laylo echod. Hamuro mehem kayotzi bohem. Elo shamurom necha l'kehanim l'sheim v'vehem u'lavdehem. So that which we see in this Mishnah regarding the Kot Shlomim is very similar to that which we saw in the Mishnah before. The primary difference being the length of time that's assigned to the eating of Shlomim. Shlomim that are Kotshim Kalim, you have 2 days and the intervening night in which to eat it. We continue with the Gemara with an opening, with a Tanaic source that opens the Sukkiah. On the side of our Gemara, we have a Noseya topic heading. And it says, Kol Haruchos, or Kivunim, all the directions, Shebazora, Kshiros L'Shchitas Kochim Kalim. Tana Rabbanan. The Braisa opens up with citations from three separate parshios regarding a Korban Shlomim. There's a parsha dealing with a cow offering, a ben boker, a keves, a sheep, and an ez, a goat offering, all being brought as Korban Shlomims. The pasuk, the psukim say, "V'shachat oisoi lifnei oil moed, Let's read that again. Ushchoto, the opening of the Braisa says, Ushchoto Pesach Ol Moed. The second pasuk is Veshachat Oisoi Lifnei Oil Moed. And the third pasuk, Veshachat Oisoi Lifnei Oil Moed. We have three psukim. The first one being slightly different in its wording, where it mentions Pesach, and the other two psukim mention Lifnei. But these psukim serve to lahachshir es kol haruchos bekodshim kalim, to allow all of the directions, all of the different sides of the azora for kodshim kalim, v'kal v'chomer l'tzofon, and all the more so with regard to the north, the northern section of the azora. And what's the kal v'chomer? Uma kodshei kodshim shelo huchshiru b'chol haruchos huchshiru tzofon. Mind you, with regard to Kodshei Kodshim, none of the other sides are mutter. The only mutter area for processing it being the Tzafon. Kodshim Kalim Shehuchshuru B'chol HaRuchos, the Kodshim Kalim which are allowed in all the other directions, Eino Din Shehuchshuru B'Tzafon, all the more so would Tzafon be allowed. It was previously, by the Kodshei Kodshim, the only allowed place. Here, where the other sides are allowed, then certainly the Tzafon will be allowed. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Lo Bo HaKosuv. One of these three psukim is coming, Elo LaHachshir Tzafon. The pasuk itself is needed to machshir the Tzafon, to allow the Tzafon to be used. Apparently, Rabbi Eliezer does not accept the Kal V'chomer that the Tanakhama mentioned, and therefore he needs to use one of the three psukim to allow the Tzafon. Shiyachol, without the pasuk, I might have thought as follows, V'halo din hu, logic would have dictated that the Tzafon should not be available for shechting, for slaughtering the Kodshim Kalim. And what's the logic? Uma Kodshim Kalim Shehuchshuru B'chol Horuchos. Lo Huchshar Mekomon Eitzel Kodshi Kodshim. Kodshim Kalim, which we see has a great deal of flexibility, it's something that's allowed to be done in any place, in any direction. However, the locations available for the Kodshim Kalim are not available for the Kodshei Kodshim. The Kodshei Kodshim Shelo Huchshuru Elo B'Tzafon, Kodshei Kodshim which are allowed only in the Tzafon, Eino Din Shelo Huchshir Mekomon Eitzel Kodshim Kalim. It would then follow all the more so that Kodshei Kalim would not be allowed in their place, in the place of the Kodshei Kodshim, thereby excluding Tzafon for the Kodshei Kalim. At this point then, how would I know Tzafon is available for the Kodshei Kalim? Talmud Lomar Oyel Moyu. Therefore I need one of the Psukim to teach me that Tzafon is available for the Kodshim Kalim. But at the end of the day, whether you be the Tanakhama or Rebbe Eliezer, Tzafon is allowed for the Kodshei Kalim as well as all the other directions. B'mai Komiflugi. What is their point of difference? Or where do you see a difference between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Eliezer, at least with regard to their methods of learning? Tanakhama Sovar. We've squiggled on the Tanakhama Sovar, and a few lines later, Rebbe Eliezer Sovar. At each point in the morrow, their approaches will be presented, and with some additional markings, we will be able to see in a highlighted fashion where the difference lies. Tanakhama holds Tlosa Kroi Ksivi. There are three psukim. Chad Legufei. One is to teach me the din itself. What does that mean, the din itself? Dini bo'i pesach ol moed, that sacrifices cannot be slaughtered unless the gates of the Beis HaMikdash are open. In other words, a shechita, when the doors are not open or not available, would be illegitimate. So that will include a couple of situations. Rashi enumerates them. One would be, he says this on the fourth line from the top, Kodim Shiftuhu Adlosis, would be inappropriate, if it's the gates have not been opened at all. And in the Midbar, there was this further, there was another restriction, that being that prior to the setting up of the Mishkan, which was a portable structure, so prior to its being set up, korbanos sacrifices could not be offered. Ulachar shepirku, and also after they dismantled the Mishkan, the sacrifices could not be offered. Lo hayashochet, he would not be able to slaughter. So that's what we mean by legufe. I need the pasuk of Pesach omoid for that purpose. The word Pesach implying the door is open. Vechad, lahachshir kol stodim, to allow all of the different sides of the Azara. Vechad lifsol tzidei stodim. And another pasuk is here to exclude the area called Sidei Stadim. Those are offices or structures that are set off on the sides of the set off the sides of the Azora. V'tzafal lo itzderich kra. There is no need for a pasuk to allow the tzafon for the kochim kalam. That is derived through the Kal v'chomer. Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Chad Legufei, Dinibboi Pesach Omoi, that's the same as we saw with regard to the Tanakamo. The Chad, another posuk, is Lahachshir Tzafon. Rabbi Eliezer needs a posuk for Tzafon, and notice how we've dot underlined that to contrast that with the approach adopted by the Tanakamo, where he said Tzafon does not need a posuk. This is also a point of difference, that according to Rebbe Lezer, the Tzidei Tzadim don't even need a pasuk to passel them, to render those areas off the Azora as being pasel for the Shechita of the Kochim Kalim. Before we go further, let's just not get confused with regard to the dinim of Shechita of Kochim Kalim and the eating of Kochim Kalim. The eating of Kochim Kalim can take place anywhere in Yerushalayim. The Shechita of the Kochim Kalim is restricted to the Azora. However, it's not as restricted as Kochim Kochim, which are restricted to the Tzafon alone. Kochim Kalim are allowed to be slaughtered in any of the directions or any of the sides of the Azora. The Gemara asks, "Maishno hocho dechsiv Pesach olmoed, u'maishno bekulu dechtiv behu lifnei olmoed." What is the significance of the appearance of the word Pesach in the first of the psukim we cited, and the other two psukim do not have the word Pesach in it? It simply says lifnei olmoed. Komash malon kider Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The word Pesach informs me of that which Rav Yehuda taught, the Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Before we go further, we have the appearance of a new geometric form, a diamond, and if we glance to the outside margin, we see the Nosei Mivne heading. Diamonds are featured. A diamond is featured. Amoroyim, they represent, or they, you'll find the diamond around Amoroyim, She'oimrim, Dishlomim, Sheshachtun, Kodim, Shiftachu, Dalsasahechal, Psulim. Shlomim that are shechted, that are slaughtered before the doors of the gates of the Beis HaMikdash are opened up, of the Heichal are opened, the slaughtering would be unacceptable. Al pi ha-pasuk v'shachatu Pesach o'moed, based on this pasuk. So we'll see Amoroyim that express this idea. This we have labeled in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a Roman numeral number 1, Aleph, and then shortly you'll see a Beis with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Afterwards, we'll see a different version, which we'll label as Roman numeral number 2. That's the Bimarova Masni Hochi. You can see that's squiggle underline. In our marking system, we will employ the squiggle underline, in addition to being in its use as a simple highlighting device, as a means of distinguishing between two versions of whatever is being presented. Hence, under expressions like Eboy es Emo or Iko Diamri, you'll often find a squiggle underline. Continuing then in the Gemara. Diomar of Yidomar Shmuel. Shmuel's the first diamond. Shlomim Shishachton Kodim Shiftachu Dalsis Hehechal. Psulim. Shlomim that are sacrificed before the opening of the gates of the Hechal are unfit. Shnemar Ushchotoi Pesach Ol Moed. And we learn from this pasuk, Bizman Shehu Pasuach. The word Pesach is explained to be open. When the gates are open, then you shecht v'lo bizman shehu na'ul, and not at a point when it is locked. It manami omar mar ukfa bar chama omar rav yezi bar b'china shlomo sheshecht on kodem shiftechu dalsos ha'hechal psulim shenemar v'shechtu pesach ol moed bizman shepesach ha'hechal pasuach v'lo bizman shehu na'ul, when the hechal is open and not when it's locked. B'marava masni hachi omar rav yankiv bar acha omar rav ashi. Shlomim Masnu Hachi means, in Eretz Yisrael, they teach it this way. Omar of Ashi, Shlomim Shishachton, Koidem Shiyiftechu Dalsa Sahechop Sulim. That's very similar to that which we said above. That's why we have Rav Ashi in a diamond. Here we have the new aspect, Ube Mishkan, he adds, and that's why this is a new version, this is the Marova version. He teaches that Uba Mishkan Koidem Shiyamidu Levim Es Mishkan Lachar Shiyifreku Levim Es Mishkan Psulim. By the way, these two points we saw in Rashi on the fourth line from the top. That being that in the Mishkan, the Shlomim that would be shechted before the Mishkan is set up or after it has been dismantled, those kind of Shlomim would be unfit. Pshita Mugaf Kinoul Domi. It's obvious that Mugaf, where the gate is closed and it's not locked, nevertheless, the fact that it's Mugaf, that it's closed, it's as if it were locked, and hence it would be a time or a situation that would render the shechting of the Shlomim unfit. Vilon Mai. Let us say that the gate is open, however, a curtain is spread over the opening. Does that make it like No'ul or not? Before we go further, we have a double underline, which is one of our series markings. Hence, you see on the next line as well, Gova Mai. On the side of our Gemara, we have an explanation for this. The Nosei Mivneh heading, we see a double underline, Shnei She'elois, two questions, Be'inyin Stimas Pesach, regarding the issue of the sealing or the closing of a doorway. Im Nikra Pasuach, is it, whatever the situation is, we'll see Vilon and then Gova, a mound or a heap, is that considered open? Kidei Shiei Mutar Lishchot Shlomim, so that it would be allowed to slaughter Shlomim in such a situation. So the first question concerns a curtain. If a curtain is spread over the opening, is it Mutar to Shecht a Shlomim under such circumstances? Om Rabbi Zera, Hu Atzmoi Eina Se'ela Kepesach Pasuach. That means that when a curtain is covering the entranceway, it nevertheless is still considered open. The presence of the curtain is only as to create a sense of humility and privacy. Gova Mai. Let us say the gate was completely open. However, there was a mound of dirt or wood that was blocking the entranceway, that was in front of the entranceway. Let's take a look at Rashi that deals with this pretty much across from here. Gova kigon tail o eitz mutal kineged ha-pesach mafsik bein pesach l'shchita va-pesach pasuach mai. There was a tail is a mound or eitz wood that was placed in front of an open doorway. Would that serve as an interposition or as a blocking between the shechita and the open doorway? The Gemara continues with a response. Toshma desanya. So let's come in here. The following Tanaic source: Rabbi Yosi Buda Omer, Shnei Pishpishim Hoyu Beveis Hachalifois. There were two openings in the wall of the we'll call it the western wall of the ulam. The part of the ulam that faced west was called Beis HaChalifos, and there were two openings in that wall. The word chalif is a knife. In fact, that was a place that the knives for slaughtering were stored. That's as we just mentioned, on the western wall of the ulam. The ulam is the section that
juts out beyond the width of the Heichal. You can see a diagram of this on the lower part of the page, and we've drawn in, that's a printer's diagram of the Ulam, and you can see we have some additional diagrams on the margins of this as well. These all represent aerial views. And in one of our diagrams, which we label Roman numeral number 2, you can see there's a little 1 with arrows, and that's pointing to what we just referred to as the Beis HaChalifos. So there were two openings in the Beis HaChalifos, V'gova Shmoina Kedei Lahachshir Es HaAzora Kula. The expression V'gova Shmoina is, we won't translate that because that's the key expression for the Gemara to bring its proof from this source. So there was a Gova Shmona Kedei Lahachshir Es HaAzora Kula Achilas Kodshei Kodshim Ulishchitas Kodshim Kalim. These openings were necessary to enable the entire Azora to be available for the eating of Kodshei Kodshim and for the slaughtering of Kodshim Kalim. So far, as we've seen before, that the slaughtering is to take place when things are open and when you're more or less opposite open the open doorway. Now, in this source, we have a reference to a Goiva Shmoina, my love, Deiko Komaihu Goiva Shmoina, that there is a mound that's 8 amas in height that's blocking the openings. And yet, even though you have this Goiva Shmoina, you have this mound of 8 amas in height, it's not, it doesn't block, it doesn't create, it's not possible to slaughter under such circumstances. It's not a mafsik. The Gemara rejects this. From this source, we don't see anything about mounds or blockages. Loi. The Gvi Inhu Shmoina. The Gova Shmoina reference to in this source meant that the slits or the openings that are made in the Beis HaChalifos have a height of 8 amas themselves, but nothing to do with anything blocking those openings. Meisve. The Gemara now asks, how can you say that their height, these openings' height, was 8 amas? We have the following record of heights of entranceways. Kol ha-sha'orim shehoyu sham goivon esrim amo v'rochvon eser amo. We've dashed underlined the key expression, govon. All of the gates opening to the Beis HaMikdash were 20 amas of height, not 8. So the Gemara says, that's true with regard to official gateways, pishpishin shiny, but little slits or openings that were made for the purpose of being machshir the Azora for the slaughtering of Kodshei Kodshim or the for the slaughtering of Kodshim Kalim or the eating of Kodshei Kodshim, that's a different story. That's what is meant by pishpishin shiny. The Gemara asks a question that's not a direct flow of what we just learned about. The topic we just got finished speaking about had to do with the issue of a gova, of a blocking of the gates, of the entranceways. How does that affect the concept of Pesach HaOmoed, the open doorways? Now the Gemara asks, with regard to being machshir, all of the different sides of the Azora, we just mentioned that in order to be machshir the area to the west of the Ulam, we had to have openings in the what was called the Beis HaChalifos. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's take a look at the nosei, the topic heading we have at the side. Hachshoras kol hakivunim, the making available, the hechshir of all of the different directions, shel ha'azora l'shchita, for the purpose of slaughtering of kodshim kalim, al yedei psichas pishpishin velul kedei shehem yugam kein bichlal lifnei oil moyed, through the creation of different openings so that those areas of the Azora that are opposite those openings would be considered Azora, that's keneged Pesach oil moyed. The Gemara asks, what about tzdodin? So let's take a look at Rashi that you find there's a narrow line of Rashi above the diagram that's printed into the Gemara. V'ikot tzdodin, hainu avir shebein koisel ulam l'koisel ho'azora l'dorum l'tzafon. We are looking specifically at, we have a diagram that we've drawn in. We're labeling it Roman numeral number 2. On that diagram labeled Roman numeral number 2, there is a little number 2 that's encircled, and there's a key under that that indicates Voikot Stodim. What about the area of the Azora that's opposite the wall of the Ulam, both to the north of that wall and to the south, the southern side of the Ulam, to the south of the southern wall of the Ulam? That's called Stodim. And that area was not an area that was opposite anything that was open. So how do we allow the eating of Kotshe Kotshim or the slaughtering of Kotshim Kam to take place in those areas of the Azora that are opposite the northern and southern walls of the Ulam? The Gemara answers, Demayel Luhu Bekeren Zovis. The Pishpishim that we mentioned before are placed, if you look on the diagram, where the number 3 is encircled. Keren Zovis means in the corner, so that the opening served as representing an opening with regard to the north and to the south, and as well to the west. So you have a little pishpesh, an opening in the southwestern corner of the Ulam and in the northwestern corner of the Ulam. That thereby is machshir the area to the west of the Ulam and to the north and to the south of the Ulam because of its positioning in the corner. The Gemara asks, Achorei Beis HaKaporis Mai. If we look at our diagram that we labeled Roman numeral number 2, you can see there's a 4. That's called Achorei Beis HaKaporis. What about that area? Where is there an opening with regard to the area to the west of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Toshma, Diyoma Romi Bar Rav Yuda, Omar Rav, Lul Koton Hoya Achorei Beis HaKaporis. There was a small passageway that was in back of the Beis HaKaporis. Beis HaKaporis is a reference to the Kodshei Kodshim. So to the area in back of that, there was an opening. Gavoa Shmoina Amos. It had a height of, this lul had a height of 8 Amos. Kidei Lahakshir Es Azora Lachilas Kodshei Kodshim Lishritas Kodshim Kalim. By that area having an opening in it, it also serves to machshir the entire azor for the eating of kotshe kotshim and for the shechting of kotshim kalim v'hainu dichtiv. And with this explanation that there was a lul katan, that was an opening behind the wall of the kotshe kotshim, we can understand a pasuk that says, this pasuk is from Divrei Hayomim, it says Shnayim Lepar Bar. The pasuk is talking about the need to have guards at the different entranceways of the Beis HaMikdash. Every entranceway had the posting of guards. This was a means of honoring the Beis HaMikdash. So the pasuk says Shnayim Lepar Bar. My Lepar Bar. What does that mean? Omar Rabo Bar Rav Shilo Kemand Omar Klape Bar. Taking a look at the Rashi, Vahainu Dichtiv Shnayim Lepar Bar Mishtoi B'Mispar Hashem Shemiru B'Mikdash L'Chol HaPsochim. The pasuk is talking about the number of guards that were set up in the Beis HaMikdash opposite or next to all of the openings. There were two guards placed there. The bar, which literally means to the outside, is a reference to that opening. And that's where these shnayim, these additional two guards, were posted. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.